Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Sunday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Challenging times. Rocket Mortgage prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7. RocketMortgage.com. They're home to yours. The team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Damon Amendolara each and every Sunday right here on CBS Sports Radio, 1 until 4 Eastern Time. And on weekdays, Monday through Friday, 6 until 10 Eastern Time. Coming up, we'll talk about Jaylen Brown, one of the young stars of the Boston Celtics, drove 15 hours over the weekend to be in Atlanta, to be part of the peaceful protests that he engaged in. Interesting. So we'll talk about that commitment by a young up-and-coming star in the NBA in Jaylen Brown in about 15 minutes from now. We've also talked about Major League Baseball and the battle that is at hand. We had David Lennon join us, longtime baseball columnist from Newsday, and he was discussing with us that there are some real labor issues that take a long time to iron out, and that's where we are right now. So this feeling of timing, for timing purposes, coming back by early July, we were discussing whether that's realistic anymore or not. I don't know that it is. I mean, it feels like, and I guess anything could happen, but it feels like we're nowhere close to getting this resolved this week. And if it's not this week, well, now we go into the second week of June after that. I mean, tomorrow is the start of June. And if we're into the second week of June, how long does it take to mobilize spring training? And how long is spring training, and how does testing go, and all the things that you need an infrastructure surrounding following the return after a pandemic, or we're in the middle of one. So I just don't understand how it could be realistic anymore about an early July start here. And if that's the case, what's going to be, I mean, let's even just say that baseball's players get what they want, only a prorated portion of their salaries. What is the appetite for a season that begins in late July or mid-July that has 60 games in it? I mean, is that something that they're going to want to battle for if they're making a third of their original salary because, you know, most of the season's been lopped off? Joe is in Houston here on CBS Sports Radio. The phone number is 855-212-4227. Hi, Joe.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime baseball fan, and I think the sports radio community is looking at the baseball squabble all wrong. First of all, the players have a very limited time to make their money. Secondly, the owners have made a ton of money on the appreciation of their franchises. So I would happily, if I had a $100,000 condo and I'm leasing it out, I'd be happy to lose $5,000 a year if I know I'm making 10 on the appreciation of the condo. Secondly, or thirdly, or fourthly, I forgot where I was because this has me so amped up. The players have signed contracts. It doesn't say if there's a pandemic, if the stadium falls down. They have signed contracts. And I think the players are far less wealthy than the owners, but that's beside the point. The point that I really want to make is that the owners have a chance to make all of their money and a lot more back through the appreciation of their franchises. And I'm in Houston. Bob Crane, who's a great owner, he bought the team for $700
million. I think we lost you there, Joe, but thanks for the phone call. I want to address a couple of things that you point out here. You are absolutely right on the appreciation of these organizations and franchise values. There is no investment like buying a professional sports franchise. Nothing. Absolutely no investment like it. If you can find the investment, you let me know. But where else could the value of the Kansas City Royals go from a couple of dozen millions of dollars to hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of 20 years? Your return on investment when you sell these things is remarkable. The New York Mets were essentially purchased for $200 million 20 years ago and will be sold for more than $2 billion. That's a cool return of $1.8 billion, and that's if they sell for two and not 2.5 or 2.6. You're absolutely right about that, but here's the thing. Because the owners are so wealthy, there is no ambition to have to come back and play baseball. For the players, as you said, a limited time earning, so they don't want to lose an entire season of said earning, which they are right now doing. If there is no games played, they're being paid on a prorated portion of their salaries, which would be zero if there's zero games played. So the intensity to which you would want to get a deal done, much higher on the player side than the owner side. Now, number two, why does the sports radio community have it wrong on the players? Here's what happens. The vast majority of sports radio callers, listeners, and hosts are labor. We are not employers, and so we relate to the labor. And the labor in this instance is making so much more than most of us do, so much more than almost all of us do, that we can't relate to squabbling, saying, well, $3 million ain't worth it for me. Seven, we can talk. Five, okay. Three, not doing it. None of us can relate to that because we are labor, most of us. And so that's where it blows our minds. We also have these players as the ones being vocal. We don't have the owners saying anything. So the players are shooting themselves in the foot by being bad at their own PR. I'm not saying the owners are riding in on a white horse trying to save everything and they don't deserve blame here. Of course the owners deserve their share of the blame. But if you want the reason, the science behind why the fans and media normally comes down hard on the players, it's because we look at ourselves as players in our leagues and go, well, boy, if I was making $3 million to do my job, I certainly would come back right about now. If I was making $7 million, I know I'd be back. Fair or unfair, of course, it's all scale, but that's why. Rick is in Tampa here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Rick?
Damon, that's the beauty of sports radio, man. You know, every average joke we can call in and make our opinion. So, yes, you're exactly right. Damon, a couple of quick things. One is that I call quite a bit on the FAN folks and talk to those guys a lot. And I know a lot of their affiliates just on the side. Hockey, who's your favorite New York hockey team?
Didn't really grow up as a favorite New York hockey team.
Okay, all right, then I'm not going to make that point. I will, one thing about Jaylen Brown, that's great. I love to hear him. We need somebody positive speaking into the situation, saying that violence is never the answer. So that's good for him. I look forward to hearing about that. And regarding the MLB, you know, over the the last couple of years, you know, all the problems MLB trying to capture that young fan, and you know, they're talking about, I mean, before all this happened, they were talking about having exotic gambling at your seats. You know, they talked about stuff like that, maybe having some kind of wagers where you can kind of get people interested again, because a lot of times when I'm at a game bringing family members, they're all about selfies and that kind of thing, and they really don't care about the game. Them not playing, and I think that would hurt, and I agree, it would hurt them in that market of attracting the popularity that they lost. So, I think you agree with that it's going to be a major crush to them if they don't play.
No doubt about it, Rick. No doubt about it. Yeah, thanks for the phone call. There is no doubt in my mind, if they don't play, they run an enormous, enormous risk of crushing what popularity that they have. And look, if you're a sports fan that's maybe older than the age of 30 or 35, you remember the effect of that 94 strike. It's a pretty stark line of demarcation. Baseball's popularity prior to 94 and then post 94. And it's not as simple as to say everybody's still angry at baseball for the strike. But it was a devastating blow to the popularity at the time, and it led to alienation. It led to fans being disenfranchised. It led to fans having reasons to not go back to baseball. Baseball has more problems than the 94 draft still has an effect on. Pace of play, lack of marketing their own stars as celebrities, all this type of stuff. Holding the attention of a young person when they've got football and basketball. But there is no doubt that prior to 94, the World Series and the All-Star Game meant a lot. And after it, it meant less. And it still means less and less and less every year. And that would only be exacerbated if they do not play this baseball season. Around this time, each and every week, we do something called the Switching Hour. Let's play the music.
Yo, mic check, mic check. Yeah, here you go.
On Sundays throughout the fall, this is the Witching Hour.
Between 3 o'clock and 4:30 in the 1 o'clock games is the Witching Hour. So don't bother me in the Witching Hour, okay?
Today, it's the Switching Hour.
3 to 4 is the best time.
All right, so in the early window of NFL game, this is called the Witching Hour. We like to call it the Switching Hour. Mraz, take something in sports that you want to switch. What do you got?
So I'm going to feel a little bit like a National League manager here. I'm going to go with a switch as a result of a potential switch, if you follow along.
Double
here.
Switch. Okay.
A double switch. We have seen a lot of proposals out here about the potential resume to the NBA season. One of them, to me, DA, feels like an enormous test balloon, and that would be simply seeding the NBA playoff teams 1 through 16 and eliminating East versus West, Eastern Conference, Western Conference. Look, I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of that. I kind of like the idea we have an Eastern Conference champion and a Western Conference champion down the line. But if this is a test balloon and this is something Adam Silver wants and wants to do well, to me, DA, why would we go through with the practice of having three divisions in each conference going forward? You know, unlike the NFL, Major League Baseball, even to an extent the NHL, the NBA's deepest rooted rivalries, don't actually result in division. I mean, heck, the biggest NBA rivalry to me is still Celtics-Lakers after all these years, and they play in opposite conferences completely. So why even have divisional play at all? Unbalanced schedule, play more teams in your division. To me, there should just be an Eastern Conference, 1 through whatever, a Western Conference, 1 through 16, 1 through 15, and let that be it. Forget about the idea of having division separating it if we're only going to end up in 1 through 16 seedings anyway in Adam Silver's NBA. Eliminate divisional play in the NBA.
Okay, we're switching things up. I like it. Now, Ryan Hickey is back on the Wheels of Steel at Mission Control. Hickey, what do you want to switch up in the world of sports?
All right, Dave. Well, I come from the school of look good, play good. And one of the ways to look good is the number you wear. College football lover, you can choose any number. The position does not matter. Well, that's not the case in the NFL, right? Receivers, you have to choose a number in the 80s or in the low teens. For me, I would get rid of the number requirement in the NFL. Let any player at any position choose whatever number they want. If you want a defensive tackle to be number one, you know what? He's going to be number one. He's going to look good. And I basically can guarantee, DA, he'll get at least one extra sack, two extra sacks. If you're looking slimmer, if you're looking better.
Is that right?
Yes, because you have a lower number, which makes you look good, makes you look faster. I think teams will be more intimidated. So let any player at any position, choose whatever number they want. It would look better, and it could be aesthetically pleasing for the crowd.
Okay, so like in college football, a quarterback could wear number 78. A kicker could be number 99.
Oh, exactly. Devin Gardner in Michigan, I think, wore 98 at quarterback. Why not? If they want to do it, let them do it.
Okay, all right. I want to switch something that we do with graphics on TV. You'll see a lot when there's an analyst, especially if it's a former player, it puts his or her highlights of his or her career up there. You know, one NBA championship and yada, yada, yada. This many Pro Bowls, this amount of times on the All-Pro squad. I would like, at some point in time, to add something bad that happened into their bio, okay? So, like, led the league in interceptions 1984, or threw a pick six to lose the game in week 17, or something. Let's mix it up. It's not all good. Everybody's resume has some bad in it. If we do get Jay Cutler in the booth and we see his bio, I don't want to just hear about the good. I want to also hear about, you know, the time that he didn't care on the sideline, the NFC Championship game. I mean, I think we can balance things out a little bit. So give me the bios under former players and give me like one or two bad things that happened over the course of their career.
I love it.
All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. You know, Mariah's talking about the timing of this. Doesn't it feel like right now we're really on the clock for baseball? And I don't think they're going to get a deal done by the end of the week. But, boy, it better be pretty damn close after the end of this week, because if not, how are they ever going to get a real season in?
So I totally agree with you. And when this all got bandied about, remember, we're supposed to be, okay, beginning of June, we're going to start here. I mean, the beginning of June is here, and we aren't seemingly anywhere close. And you're right. Look, we know the NBA, I guess, is coming back the end of July. The NHL, probably the same thing. And let's face it, we're a football thriving and starving country that when training camps open, if they do open here in August, as the NFL looks to press on for college football for a second, you're telling me Major League Baseball, after this match back and forth, is now going to compete and start their season in the midst of the NBA postseason, NHL postseason we've been longing for, and football starting, and we're supposed to now be happy and thankful that baseball's back? No. Baseball needed to figure this out to give us that full month of July where they were the saviors. It was America's pastime again, America's healing again with baseball, and their games back and forth, if they do cost us and we are against the clock, to me, I agree with you, it's useless at that point. I think the damage is done. I don't need a World Series. I don't need a postseason. I don't need a 50-game season. Either you're back at the beginning of July or I don't need you back at all.
Baseball has already felt like the loser here, and they haven't even lost games due to this squabble. I mean, we assume that they'll get back in the field, but they've already been the biggest loser. NASCAR's back. NBA is going to come back. NHL is going to come back. And baseball's the one battling over dollars.
The Premier League is coming back in the middle of June. I mean, they presumably had to have some kind of negotiation with their players as well, too,
England.
I know it's a different country, but, I mean, these soccer sports that are played in the summer, just like baseball is, have figured it out in other countries. Like, this isn't just an American situation. This was a global pandemic. Other baseball leagues have come back. Taiwan, Korean League, Japanese League is coming back. And here we are at Major League Baseball. And, you know, look around. If everybody else doesn't seem to have a problem, why is it that you guys have the problem? It's insulting.
It has been a really bad couple of weeks for baseball. And I think that even if they come back and play, this is going to leave, again, bad taste in people's mouths. They want something to root for, not be disappointed by right now. And baseball's disappointing people by going through this squabble. When we come back here on the show, the story of Jaylen Brown driving 15 hours, one of the stars of the Celtics, and what he did that for yesterday. Plus, we'll continue with your phone calls on the baseball matters at hand today. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Too much fun with audio.
The kid can play. That's all I want to hear. I don't give a rat's rump. The kid can play. I don't give a rat's rump. The kid can play.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks so much for being with us. The DA Show, Damon Amendolara here on CBS Sports Radio. You can Join the show every single morning, weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern time, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Just tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. If it's not in your local neighborhood, on your local affiliate, also on Sirius XM, channel 206. So I want to read to you a tweet after my last tease about talking about Jaylen Brown. Tony tweets in, DA, did you just say Jaylen ? NBA drove a long way to join the peaceful protests, in quotes. You may need some glasses, dude. I've seen nothing peaceful yet. You're another media shill. So I read this because I think that this is kind of an illuminating example of how people really don't want to see, what they don't want to see. Jaylen Brown plays for the Boston Celtics. He does have a last name, Jaylen Brown, not just Jaylen ? And he drove from Boston to Atlanta, where he is from, 15 hours, to be part of a peaceful protest. It was a protest where there was a gathering of people, and he held a sign. There was not rioting. There was not looting. There was not violence where he was. This was a protest that was not part of that type of violence. He said, this is a peaceful protest, which is why I'm here. Being a celebrity, being an NBA player does not exclude me from conversations. First and foremost, I'm a member of this community. We're raising awareness for some of the injustices that we've been seeing. It's not okay. As a young person, you've got to listen to our perspective. Our voices need to be heard. I'm only 23. I don't have all of the answers, but I know how everybody is feeling. No question. Jaylen Brown, at 23 years old, is a VP of the NBAPA. That's pretty significant. So I bring this up not to lash out at Tony on the tweet, but simply to kind of paint this picture. Jaylen Brown is one of the leaders at just 23 years old in the NBA. I mean, he wants to have a voice within the Players Association at 23 and has been well-spoken enough, bright enough, been mature enough from other people to rise to VP of the Players Association at 23 years old. He gets in a car and says, you know what, I'm not just going to live in my bubble as an athlete and tweet. I need to be there. I'm from that community. I need to be there. I'm going to drive 15 hours. Drive. Put his butt in the car and drove 15 hours. And by simply me referencing this, there was at least one person that said, oh, you're just a media shill, DA. There was nothing peaceful going on. Well, this is coming from somebody that is in the media. I know how this thing works. If it bleeds, it leads. If there's destruction and violence and a rock going through a window, that's what we're going to show, unfortunately. This is my industry. I have to take ownership of it in my small area of it. Unfortunately, that's the way that this works. That's what grabs the most attention. That's what you're going to see on your TV screens, and certainly that is happening. That is not everything, though. That's not everyone. That's not everything. And there will be media coverage that wants to only sensationalize the destruction of the violence because they know that's what's going to be compelling to watch. Nobody wants to watch a bunch of people standing around with signs. People do want to watch rocks getting thrown through windows and people getting beaten up with swords and all this type of stuff. That is certainly happening, but it is not the only thing happening. And it is worth remembering that. I ask you to remember what you see is not the only part of the story. If you have an open mind enough to care, you'll find out there's a lot of things that you did not know are happening. Just got to search a little bit and be a little bit more open-minded. But Jaylen Brown being part of this is, in my estimation, admirable, commendable, because I think that there are millionaire athletes, especially young ones, that can watch on TV and go back to their Xbox and go back to their Twitter and simply tweet. And instead, there are those saying, no, I need to be part of something here because this is important. This is bigger than me. And for Jaylen Brown at 23 years old to get that and to drive 15 hours to go do that in a peaceful protest, I think has to be applauded. Steve is in Connecticut here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Steve?
DA, good afternoon. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate, and I got to say, relative to the last tweet, I think you balance both sides. You give both opinions fairly. you may have your own opinion, but you tend to hold it to yourself, but you're open enough to share both sides cleanly. Obviously, the gentleman did not listen to the opposite side and the points involved.
I appreciate you saying that. Thanks.
And anyway, I thank you for taking my call. I'm from Norwalk, Connecticut. I have a Series 7 and 63, which is financial insurance degrees. The reason why I mentioned this earlier, I'm sorry I'm going back so far. I've been on the phone for a while. But the presentation and the small phrases involved in contracts, I really think are important. You mentioned some small phrases in the CBA's agreement that somebody didn't look at. My biggest concern with J-Lo and A-Rod is what happens when they decide they may want to get divorced 5 years from now. Unless that's in the agreement immediately, then there's going to be a hassle and it's going to be a whole other mess. Fine. I've also been an electrical contractor union. I've dealt with union negotiations. And basically, I'm getting to the point. I understand Texas has 2 million people in gross gate annually. And they say, okay, 25% of the people, if they're lucky, they could put in seats. And so they get the gross, they get the income from the 25%. Unfortunately, the half the season is gone, which means the owner's share really goes down to 12.5%. Now, I am not for the owners. I am a fan. I want to see baseball. But you see, the information is not coming out clear. 12.5% is not the same as 25%. 25% on an annualized basis versus cut in half, you get 12.5%. And as far as the players, okay, my suggestion would be, say, 0 to 3.5 million, take 3% off, 3 up to 15 million, 7, 15 million plus 10%. But most importantly is the insurance. That's where my Series 63 comes in. There's a phrase called force majeure, act of God. COVID-19 is an act of God, okay? Now, you do have an option to pay more, to override and be protected.
So I want to jump in there on something you just said because I like what you pointed out here, Steve. Thanks for the phone call. And that is that things are not clear. They're not clear for the fan. They're not clear, I think, even for the media that are paid to try to clarify these things. And that is become a sticking point here of why won't they just get back and play? One of those things that's not clear is when they negotiated a return, and that's where we got the prorated portion of the salary. So back in March, when we saw COVID-19 hit and baseball said, so we're not going to play for the time being, they said they got the agreement from the players. Okay, we're not going to pay you a full guaranteed salary. We'll pay you based on the amount of games that we play. So let's just use 81 as example, or 80 games, about half your salary, prorated portion of your salary, prorated 50%. And now we have this contention that the players seem to be saying, well, they're trying to come back to us for more. They can't do that. And there's a clause in there that either says the owners are allowed to come back with a good faith negotiation or they're not. And we still don't have clarity on that. And that's, I think, to your point, what is really kind of an underpinning here. Either the owners got an agreement from the players in March that said you get a prorated portion of your salary and that's it if we play baseball, whether we have fans or not, or it says without fans, we can come back and have a good faith negotiation. I don't understand how that's cloudy. We need to have some type of clarity on that. Because if the case is that the owners wrote away, signed off on their ability to come back to the drawing board, the negotiating table, if there's no fans, then this is all for naught. The players have absolutely every right to say, no, we already talked about this. We did it in March. But if there is a clause that the players agreed to that says, and if there's no fans when we return, we can come back and negotiate, well, then the players have to own that one. And I'd like to know clearly what is that clause. That's a big one here. Raphael is in Vermont here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Raph.
DA, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. How you doing?
I have to say, DA, I know you took you big time now, big shot, but I got to say, Commander, can I come on board? I've been following you since 8 o'clock in the every evening. We moved to the overnight when you came to CBS, and the story sometime I love the most.
Been a long time, man. Yeah, been a long time. Thank you.
When 98.5 became CBS, after CBS, and then you went on vacation, and you had like 1 week, you told us, I'm going to go on vacation in Buffalo, and you went on vacation, and the night, and one of the guys, you know, got sick, and CBS forced you to hold a show for them. And it was so funny. I remember those days. When I heard you on Sunday, you got me scared because I'm like, what is she doing on Sunday? We are going to the Hall of Fame. We're going to make it to the Broadcast Hall of Fame together. That be this man. Move on. I don't want to see him on Sunday anymore because, you know, in Boston, once you start doing weekend show, that means you lost your show. I'm glad you're well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Keep on doing what you're doing. I love what you're doing. And just like Flip on that movie Above the Rim, yeah, we are champions. They can never take that away from us, okay? Just keep on doing what you're doing.
Okay. Thank you, Raph. Appreciate it. Raph is Raphael in Vermont, referencing when I was working in Boston at 98.5 The Sports Hub, which is now more than a decade ago. I was working there between 09 and 12, and then we started CBS Sports Radio and was the overnight host originally here on the network. And so Raph followed me all through all those stops, which is very cool, and says, boy, when I heard you on Sunday, I thought you were out of your normal job again. No. We're still doing that shift as well, Raph. Don't worry. We're still doing mornings here on CBS Sports Radio. Just added the Sunday shift as well over the last couple of months, and we'll continue to do so through the summer. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll continue with your phone calls. Also, when we come back, we've got your epic fail. What was the biggest dope moment of the DA show today? We'll do that coming up next as well.
Good value, big upside.
Good morning, buddy. I love your show, man. I'm happy for you. I couldn't be more happy for you, man. Couldn't be more happier. I just like you in general, man. And I follow you on Twitter. I just couldn't be more happier for you, man. There's a lot of people out there that just can't accept that. People like you that give it to them. That just couldn't be more happier for you.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, thanks. That's a lot of happiness. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez still interested in purchasing the Mets. Good idea or bad idea? Robert's in Georgia here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Rob.
Hey, DA. How you doing today?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm all right. This J-Lo. Hey, Rod.
Yeah.
I see a reality TV show happening there.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, what are we going to have, real wives and girlfriends in the MLB?
Well, yeah, in this case, it might be real boyfriends. I think J-Lo is actually the power player here in that relationship.
Yeah. But, you know, that's what I see in the future if that happens.
Well, baseball could use a little cultural crossover. Thanks for the phone call, Robert. You know, they need to be cool and hip and in, so maybe that would actually work. I mean, the funny thing is that the Mets have been such a nightmare from a soap opera standpoint. So many public relations nightmares and missteps over the years, that bringing in A-Rod and J-Lo does definitely feel like it's setting themselves up for more of that. I mean, everything will be scrutinized to a different degree because of their celebrity and because of the tabloids kind of all over them and social media all over them and online websites and blogs and things of that nature. So I don't know if the Mets necessarily need that type of attention. Although, as I mentioned in the past, it's an area around Citi Field, used to be Shea Stadium, that ballpark or that parking lot around both of those ballparks has been such a, you know, such a miss for the Mets. It's if they can ever develop that and turn that into a Wrigley Field or Wrigleyville or Fenway Park or some of these other ballparks that have kind of a restaurant and bar district around them, it would be huge for the franchise to pump some money in there. And that's how basically the Red Sox started winning championships and the Cubs became contenders again, is because they took all that ancillary ballpark money from all of these shops and real estate and area around the ballparks, made it hand over fist, and then pumped that into the payroll. And then look what happens. Resources go up and suddenly your chances of winning goes up as well. You know, with the NFL right now, they're in the catbird seat and they're watching Major League Baseball fight over dollars and cents. And they're watching the NBA try to figure out how to get things going at Disney World. And they're looking at the NHL proposing an expanded playoffs. And if they're going to do the pod system, maybe two cities that they would use, perhaps Chicago and Vegas, or Vegas, another city. And the NFL gets to wait and watch how everybody either does this well or does this not so well. NASCAR has come back, and for the most part, they've had a good run at it. Couple of weeks, they've had their events go off without a hitch with no fans in attendance, and ratings have been strong. And the NFL has to be waiting and watching and taking notes and all of this. And once again, just out of sheer dumb luck for the NFL, timing has been on their side. If the coronavirus had hit 3 months earlier, 2 months earlier, could you imagine the NFL season hanging by a balance and no playoffs and no Super Bowl? And do they cancel it and not have a Super Bowl? Would they have the Super Bowl after the summer? Where would we be if it had happened in December instead of March? In January instead of March 15th? January 15th. It's kind of a crazy concept. So for football, boy, they have really stepped in good luck in terms of timing, waiting and watching. And they are watching Major League Baseball eat itself. And just kind of preparing and lying in the weeds. They've had their draft. They've had their virtual draft. They've had their offseason. They've had their free agency. And they get to just sit back and watch and wait and react off of what other leagues do. Let's get to your epic fail of the afternoon, guys. And let's go back to this J-Lo and A-Rod discussion. Apparently, Mraz knows what the kids are talking about. It's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
But, I mean, J-Lo is also 50 years old. Is there a younger generation that goes, wow, J-Lo's involved in baseball, I got to be there? I mean, maybe if it was Kendall Jenner. I don't know if there's a bunch of 12-year-olds that go, well, J-Lo's into baseball, so I should be.
You're a fool by the rocks that I got. I'm still Jenny from the block.
Look, all I know is this. When J-Lo pops up performing at the VMAs and there's A-Rod like an idiot filming with his white suit on, the talk on Twitter from anybody between the ages of 13 and 50 is, wow, look at J-Lo. Now, in 8 years, if J-Lo starts to hit her downward curve, maybe not. But J-Lo from more of a, you know, her music still resonates. Her movies still resonate. She looks amazing. J-Lo hits with the younger crowd still. A-Rod may necessarily not, but J-Lo absolutely still hits.
So you're following a lot of 13-year-olds on your Twitter feed?
No.
Where are you getting these creepy takes from, this scale of takes?
I shouldn't say I follow him on Twitter, but like I have a lot of family with young cousins and everything, and J-Lo is still somebody they foam at the mouth and talk about. Did you see the J-Lo performance? Did you see what J-Lo was like? People talk about J-Lo in all ages still. She is somebody that resonates. She's a megastar.
People talk about J-Lo.
They do. They love
J-Lo.
They're talking J-Lo. They love
a
J-Lo. They look at J-Lo and go, how old is she? Kids think that. It's unbelievable.
Kids think that? Kids think how old is J-Lo?
I don't think a six-year-old thinks that, but a teenager will go, wait, J-Lo's 50? Like, I mean, look, it's just, it is what it is. People love a good J-Lo. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
J-Lo and A-Rod seem to be back in the Mets sweepstakes, and I'm wondering if maybe it's a really good solution for them. So we're taking your phone call. A great solution, Corey.
Great solution.
Great solution.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Not a good solution, Mraz. A great solution in your mind.
A great solution. Little pizzazz back to Mets baseball. A little area to have some bars, some real superstars, some J-Lo concerts, as Lou and Astoria brought up. And we're going to revitalize the Flushing area.
How about Alex Rodriguez saying something dopey when it comes to a free agent or some type of payroll situation? I mean, isn't that inevitable as well?
It probably is.
A current player, his manager. I mean, that just feels like you're just walking into a bear trap.
Well, you probably, but A-Rod also still to this day, a lot of players idolize A-Rod despite the PED stuff. He might even lure free agents there. As much as he could say something stupid. So you got to think glass half full here with A-Rod.
Do you think Rob Manfred listens to J-Lo on his iPod or his iPhone? I guess nobody has iPods anymore when he goes out for his morning run.
I bet you there is at least one J-Lo song in the Soul Cycle mix, if you will, for a Rob
okay.
Manfred.
Yeah, that's a better call. When he's on Soul Cycle or the Peloton in his huge estate or his, who knows, Upper Manhattan home or whatever, do you think that he is listening to any J-Lo songs in hopes that she buys the Mets?
Good karma. I'm going to keep giving J-Lo downloads. This way J-Lo maybe can make money off of this, and now she can buy the Mets. Yes. But the other caller brought up a good point. An A-Rod J-Lo divorce, what would that mean to the Mets? That is another question for another day.
Which also, no offense to J-Lo and A-Rod, but doesn't that feel inevitable as well?
Well, kind of, if you follow A-Rod's track record specifically, yes.
I don't even know if they're married yet. Are they married yet? I think they're just engaged.
They might just be engaged, yes. But he was with Madonna, Cameron Diaz. I don't think he got married to any of them, but they got close as well.
She was married to, I'm going to have to think about this. I think she was married as well a couple of
Jennifer,
times.
Jennifer, right? Wasn't it Ben Affleck and J-Lo?
Were they married?
Bennifer? Wasn't that a thing? I think she was. Oh, no, Mark Anthony.
Mark Anthony, that's right.
Yes.
Mark Anthony.
Yes.
Mark Anthony. And I think there was a Chris Judd in there as well.
Wow. You know what? She might have a better lineup than the Mets.
I don't think her and Affleck ever got married, but he's definitely in the rotation of J-Lo.
He was, right? That was Bennifer, right?
That was Bennifer, yeah. All right, that'll do it for us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of The Dot. Thanks to Ryan Hickey on the Wheels of Steel as well, our associate producer today. And thanks to Chris Lopresti on your headlines. We're usually at it weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern, so we're back at it tomorrow morning. Be there right here on CBS Sports Radio. Until then, be good and be good to one another. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnect.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.